20th Century Fox. A News Corporation company. The spotlights fade, and the 20th Century Fox logo forms a facade on top of a grimy industrial building. 1899. The great nations of Europe share an uneasy peace. For hundreds of years, wars have been fought with the same weapons: single-shot rifles, cavalry, and horse-drawn cannon. But this old century is soon to end. A new age dawns. The sprawling factory-like building begins to crumble. Two Victorian bobbies are on the streets below.
Moorgate Passage!
They run through the dark alleys and are joined by more police.
Moorgate Passage!
Sean Connery, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Dogs are running from something.
Bleeding ratbags, what's gotten into them?
The policemen freeze as a tank comes plowing through a gate and into the street.
What in God's name is that?
It turns to face them.
Halt!
It starts driving forward.
Halt!
Trundles on and smashes through the front of the Bank of England. Guards fire at the tank, but their bullets ricochet off its metal plating. The unstoppable vehicle plows through a wall and smashes through an office. Bulldozing its way into the next room, it topples over row after row of bookshelves. A protective panel slides back onto the top of the vehicle as it comes to a stop in front of the vault.
Here. Careful, mate. Careful.
A metal cylinder extends towards the vault.
Let's burn inside!
The vault door is blown off its hinges, and a number of soldiers get out of the tank. One points at the guards and says, "Round them up. Leave one alive to tell the tales. Kill the rest." A soldier picks up a gold bar and says, "Such treasures." A figure in a fur coat and carrying a cane replies, "Treasures, yes." He opens a drawer and, finding an architectural drawing, says, "Some worth more than others." Now a series of newspaper headlines. Britain accuses German army of bank theft. Germany's newest weapon, not us, says Germany. Now, Berlin, May 1899.
Bring the scientists with us. Kill any who resist.
The man in the fur coat.
Do we have him?
Paul Draper at your service, sir.
As far as he...
The world, Herr Draper. I want the world.
Are you crazy? This place is filled with hydrogen gas.
Really? That's so frightening.
The man in the fur coat, who's wearing a mask to cover his disfigured face, fires a missile into one of the Zeppelins stored in the massive hangar. The missile tears through the airship, creating a series of explosions. As they fall to the ground, the masked man calmly walks away. More newspaper headlines. Germany attacked. Britain denies assault on Berlin. Europe on brink of war. Kenya, June 1899. A sweeping, sun-scorched savannah. A carriage is being pulled along by two horses. It draws into a small township that's dominated by a large white building. The carriage comes to a halt, and a man in a suit and bowler hat steps out.
Don't wander off.
He steps towards the grand building and goes inside. In the lobby, he meets another smartly dressed gentleman.
Where's Quatermain?
The gentleman at the back.
The man in the bowler hat heads through into the bar.
Do I have the pleasure of addressing Alan Quatermain?
Yes, you do, sir. Indeed you do.
You're not what I expected.
And I presume you're another traveller. Got it in your head to sample the Dark Continent. And while you're at it, hunt down old Alan Quatermain and have him tell his adventures.
Well,
you just fill a seat, sir. You can fill my glass. Bruce, double.
Bruce nods.
And I'll regale you with how I found King Solomon's mines, or I could relate
my... It is not your past that interests me. My name is Sanderson Reed. I am a representative of Her Majesty's British government. The Empire needs you.
But the question is, do I need the Empire?
Perhaps I should toddle off, should I, Alan?
Yes, of course, Nigel, you toddle off.
Toddling.
Nigel is useful for keeping the story seekers at bay. I'm Quatermain.
The Empire is in peril.
You're probably too young to know, but the Empire is always in some kind of peril.
We need you to lead a team of unique men like yourself to combat this threat.
Regale me.
There is great unrest. Countries set at each other's throats, baying for blood. It's a powder keg. The trouble of which I speak could set a match to the whole thing. War.
With whom, exactly?
Everyone. A world war.
That notion makes you sweat?
Heavens, man. Doesn't it you?
This is Africa, dear boy. Sweating is what we do.
Where is your sense of patriotism?
God save the Queen.
God save the Queen. God bless her. God bless her.
That's about as patriotic as it gets around here.
But you're Alan Quatermain. Stories of your exploits have thrilled English boys for decades.
That I know. And Nigel has done a grand job reminding me. But with each past exploit, I've lost friends, white men and black, and much more. And I'm not the man I once was.
Four men enter the bar.
What you're saying is you're in for the long haul.
Exactly.
Mr. Quatermain?
Yes, indeed, sir.
The man shoots Nigel before being shot by Quatermain.
Wrong Quatermain!
That's him!
Quatermain's bullets ricochet off the men's chest armor.
They're indestructible!
No, just armor plated.
Quatermain moves forward, but then runs back in retreat when the men reveal machine guns.
Automatic rifles!
Who in God's name has automatic rifles?
Yes, unsporting. Probably Belgium.
The hunter just misses and is shot by one of the armored men. Quatermain blasts one with a shotgun, knocking him into a pillar. One of the armored men's gun jams, and Quatermain takes the opportunity to punch him in the face. He hits him with a series of blows, then smashes him over the head with a table. He grapples with one of the other hoodlums and eventually overcomes him by smashing a whiskey bottle over his head.
waste.
Look out!
Suddenly, the man trapped in the frame of the table manages to break through it. Quatermain charges at him with a desk. He shoves him across the room, straight into the horn of a rhino hunting trophy and skewering him on it. A Union flag falls over the man's face.
Rule Britannia.
Wasn't there another one of these buggers?
Mr. Quatermain!
Bruce, Matilda. Our friend might have some information.
But he's so far away. Yes, I thought he was.
God, I hate getting old.
Quatermain puts on some spectacles, lines up his rifle, and shoots the man from a great distance.
Did you mean to just wound him?
Obviously.
The man is brought back.
Stop him! I need information!
He chews on some tablets and collapses.
Bloody poison. You may have no love for the Empire, but I know you love Africa. A war in Europe will spread to its colonies.
The white building explodes in a massive fireball. The villagers run towards it, whilst Quatermain remains where he is.
It appears the war has arrived.
Very well, Reed. I'm in.
Excellent. Pack for an English summer.
Quatermain's attention is drawn to a small graveyard. He stares at one headstone in particular, which has the name Quatermain carved across it. Now, Quatermain's in the back of a carriage, staring out at the rain-drenched, cobbled streets outside. London, July 1899. Rain showers down on row upon row of grey rooftops. The coach pulls up at the bottom of a set of steps that lead to a grand, curved building. Reed opens the door and Quatermain steps out.
You made good time getting here.
Not as good as Phileas Fogg. Around the world in 80 days.
Inside, Reed leads Quatermain through a corridor. He takes him down a set of steps into the bowels of the building.
Where are we going? Australia?
They finally reach the bottom of the staircase.
And here we are, sir.
Reed opens some double doors into a well-stocked library. Quatermain hands him his coat and steps inside. A man at the far end of the room is tapping something against the table.
I don't like theatrics.
After Africa's veldt, London's weather isn't helping your mood, I see.
Identify yourself.
I'm known by many names, Mr. Quatermain. My underlings call me Sir. My superiors call me M.
M.
Just M. I must say the delight is mine, meeting so notable a recruit to this newest generation of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
League of what?
There have been other times when a danger upon the world required the services of singular individuals.
How very curious.
This museum is full of the curious. Alan Quatermain, Captain Nemo.
I know of Mr. Quatermain.
And I know of you, Captain. Rumor has it that you're a pirate.
I'd prefer a less provocative title.
I'm sure you would.
Gentlemen, please. Nations are striking at nations. Every attack marked by the use of highly advanced weaponry. They've discovered these attacks are all the work of one man who calls himself the Phantom.
Very operatic. And what's in it for him?
Profit. Those machines are his creations. The work of scientists he holds imprisoned. And his attacks have every nation clamoring for the very weapons that assail them.
And it's a race for arms.
And millions will perish.
There's one last chance to avert war.
The leaders of Europe are to meet secretly in Venice.
And you believe that this Phantom will attack that conference?
If he can find it. We need a team to get to Venice and stop him. This team will consist of 6 members. You have 4 days.
4 days to get to Venice? It's impossible.
Let me worry about that.
Well, now, extraordinary gentleman indeed.
One of them is late. Parker, the chemist.
Oh, chemist, eh? Do we get to blow something up, then?
My eyesight must be worse than I thought.
No, your eyesight's fine.
Some papers drop onto the table.
No games, Anne.
Some time ago, a talented, albeit misguided, man of science discovered the means to become invisible.
Yes, I recall the tale, but didn't he die?
Well, he did, but his process didn't. You see, I stole it, and here I stand for all to see.
This is some parlor game.
Believe it. Easy now, Alan. I'm feeling a bit of a draft in my nether regions. And I must say, it's quite refreshing. Allow me to introduce myself. Rodney Skinner, gentleman thief. Now, I thought invisibility would be a boon to my work. Well, you can imagine, it was my undoing. Once you're invisible, it's bloody hard to turn back.
We finally caught it.
And they'll provide an antidote. Well, that's if I'm a good boy.
And are you a good boy?
I guess you'll find out, won't you?
A striking young woman enters.
Am I late?
A woman's prerogative, Mrs. Harker.
Please tell me this is Harker's wife with a sick note.
Sick would be a mild understatement. My husband's been dead for years.
Gentlemen, Mrs. Wilhelmina Harker. Mina's prior acquaintance with a reluctant League member may prove useful.
I'm waiting to be impressed.
The fate of the world is at stake. There are still 2 more members to recruit. The clock hands turn, gentlemen.
Kicking us out already. A moment ago, it was Sherry and Giggles.
Skinner, his face now painted, heads out. Outside, a sleek white car is waiting.
What in God's name is that?
I call it an automobile.
Yeah? But what is it?
The future, gentlemen. The future. This is my first mate.
Call me Ishmael. Please.
As the League are driven away, a shadowy figure watches them from the street corner. The young man, his face partially obscured by the brim of his hat, strolls away. In the car.
So, how did M get you?
None of your business.
You're a little testy, Mr. Q.
Mrs. Harker, I doubt if you measure danger the way I do.
And I imagine you with quite the library, Mr. Quatermain. All those books you must have read merely by looking at their covers.
I've had women along on past exploits and found them to be, at best, a distraction.
Do I distract you?
My dear girl, I've buried 2 wives and many lovers, and I'm in no mood for more of either.
You can send them my way.
Skinner, shut up.
East London docks. It's the middle of the night, and the docks are abandoned. The car's four headlights break through the darkness as it pulls up alongside the docks.
Shall I wake up?
No, bring my lady to me.
This is the charming spot. Does Jack the Ripper live here?
Quatermain knocks and a face appears at the peephole. A young, handsome man opens the door.
Good evening.
Mr. Dorian Gray?
I am indeed.
We came by way of M.
Ah. M for mystery. Well, I've told him and I'm telling you, I'm not interested.
Dorian.
Mina.
Mina goes inside, followed by the others. They head up the staircase.
Charming decor.
Ah, you're missing a picture, Mr. Gray.
And you don't miss a thing, do you, Mr. Quatermain?
Oh, sometimes.
They follow Dorian into a massive library.
Scotch, anyone?
Please, help yourself.
Don't let it ruin your makeup.
I am impressed, Mr. Gray. You take Skinner's uniqueness in your stride.
Yes, well, I've seen too much in my life to shock easily. Although I must say I was surprised to see you again.
When our last parting was such sweet sorrow.
Oh, so you're nothing more than an enticement. Nevertheless, your presence intrigues me. They say you're indestructible, Quatermain.
Well, a witch doctor did bless me once. I had saved his village. He said Africa would never allow me to die.
But you're not in Africa now.
No.
I confess a curiosity as to what the files say about Mr. Gray. We all of us have traits useful in this endeavor. A hunter, scientist, even Skinner has stealth.
Cheers.
What of you?
I have experience.
Gray and I have met before, many years ago at Eton College.
A lecture, no doubt. You, the nation's hero. Dorian, the eager listening boy.
Quite the reverse. It was Gray visiting Eton, and I was the boy.
Sensing something, Quatermain suddenly unholsters his pistol.
What is it?
Armed men appear above them on the library balcony.
Gray?
They're not mine.
They're mine.
The Phantom steps out. Quatermain takes a couple of steps towards him.
First meetings usually warrant introductions.
Of course. I am the Phantom. You are the League of so-called extraordinary gentlemen. Introductions made. Oh, and I'm scarred, Mr. Quatermain. Not blind. Drop the gun. Your mission is to stop me. That, of course, I cannot permit. So I give to you all special one-time invitation. Join me.
You think we'll help start a war that will consume the planet?
While you profit from your arms race?
I cannot deny that fortunes are made in war. Imagine the riches world war will yield.
He's not wrong.
Speak for yourself.
One of the armed men has winked at Quatermain and suddenly shoots one of the Phantom's soldiers. The League run for cover and Quatermain retrieves his gun. Skinner splashes his drink over his face and pulls off his clothes.
Oh,
The League's new ally quickly dispatches three of the Phantom's assassins, whilst Dorian fights skillfully with his sword. Quatermain shoots two of the gunmen with his pistol, whilst the League's ally pulls off his mask, revealing him to be the young man who's been spying on them. The young man dispatches several more of the assassins with well-aimed shots and effective hand-to-hand combat.
Draw your pistol!
I walk a different path.
Nemo unsheathes an ornate sword and then begins fighting the men with a succession of extraordinarily acrobatic kicks and spins.
Run, James!
Quatermain fights with the Phantom's guard, whilst Nemo uses an array of spectacular martial arts moves to overcome his enemies.
Hang on.
A book, seemingly floating in mid-air, smacks one of the assassins around the head.
Night-night.
The young man races after one of the assassins as the fight continues to rage in the library. Nemo's making short work of a succession of hoodlums, whilst Quatermain finally defeats his opponent with a fierce headbutt. Suddenly, one of the assassins fires a volley of bullets straight into Dorian's chest.
Dorian!
The shots pepper Dorian's body, but he simply looks at the gunman with a wry tilt of the head. Then, with a slash of his sword, he cuts off the man's armor before running his blade through him.
What are you?
I'm complicated.
The wounds on Dorian's chest heal instantly. The young man is chasing after the Phantom, following him up a series of passageways and staircases. He manages to get a shot off, but the masked villain leaps out of a window. When the young man looks out, there's no sign of the Phantom.
I thought I was special. You were invulnerable to harm.
I don't like to boast. What happened to Mina?
Oh, she's probably hip deep in some sort of trouble.
Don't be such an alarmist, Mr. Q. And my hips are none of your business.
One of the Phantom's men puts a knife to Mina's neck.
Shoot! Go on! I guessed as much. That they would do anything to protect you.
See, now that's your biggest mistake. Thinking that I need them to protect me.
Suddenly, Mina's eyes turn a shade of crimson and her teeth sharpen. She sinks her fangs into the man's neck and drinks his blood. After she's finished feasting, she licks the blood from her lips salaciously and checks her hair in a pocket mirror.
Extraordinary.
Boy. They told me European women had funny ways. You missed a spot.
Excuse me. And you are?
Special Agent Sawyer of the American Secret Service.
Then America is aware of the situation.
Well, if war starts in Europe, how long is it going to take until it crosses the Atlantic? I followed you. I knocked out a straggler and I took his place.
Very noble. But this is a private party, and you're not invited.
Actually, Dorian has declined. So we are one shy of a full deck.
On the contrary, the battle was just the spur I needed. That and the thrill of a friendship renewed. Hmm. So you're not needed.
Quatermain takes Sawyer's gun.
Winchester.
That's right. It's modified. American style.
American-style shooting, too.
Well, whatever it takes. You like it? I brought two.
You're in.
So, what's the next port of call?
Paris. Just one last member to recruit.
Capture is more the word, and it will be quite a hunt.
You make him sound like some kind of animal.
Oh, speaking thus, Mrs. Harker,
your conduct a moment ago?
Indeed. We were all a quiver with curiosity.
Well, my husband was Jonathan Harker. Together with a professor named Van Helsing, we fought a dangerous evil. It had a name, Dracula. He was Transylvanian.
European? One of those radicals the newspapers love to report on.
I don't know, Mr. Skinner. Is the vampiric sucking of people's blood radical behavior?
Everyone considers.
Oh. Our transportation is forthcoming.
A boat?
It travels on water, if that's what you mean. And beneath it.
A giant metallic submarine appears from under the surface of the water. Its gleaming bodywork is decorated with intricate engravings.
Oh.
Nautilus, the sword of the ocean. Next stop, Paris.
Paris. The League are on the streets, tracking a beast-like man across the rooftops.
I don't see what we need a big monkey for.
Well, this big monkey has terrorized the Rue Morgue for months. Imagine the mayhem he'll give the enemy.
Quatermain shoots a chimney near the beast.
Missed!
I'm not trying to hit him. Turn left, Mr. Hyde.
Hyde jumps to another building.
Make him turn left, boy.
Sarah fires a succession of shots.
If you can't do it with one bullet, don't do it at all.
He's doubled back.
Precisely. Come on!
Quatermain pulls Sawyer out of the way of some falling bricks.
That was naughty.
Thanks.
Eyes open, boy. Can't protect you all the time.
Quatermain sniffs the air.
He's afraid.
I can't smell anything.
Quatermain comes out of cover and blasts several shots just wide of Hyde. Hyde jumps onto another roof and grips onto a chimney. Quatermain shoots the roof that Hyde is standing on, sending him tumbling down off the edge of the building. Then he fires a flare into the sky, signaling for a net to be pulled up around Hyde. The captured beast is dragged through the streets and straight through a door into the Nautilus.
Perfect. Welcome aboard, Mr. Hyde.
The crew look around anxiously, whilst Mina's in her cabin.
This hunt's too dangerous for a woman, even one such as you. Leave it to me.
Dorian is looking in a mirror which keeps rattling. Skinner and Dorian walk through the ship.
Hello, Dorian. A great white hunter's bagged his prize.
Ah! Well, the prize bagged him.
Hyde's chained up.
Stay back if you value your life.
Hyde swats some of his captors away, knocking one into Skinner. Dorian helps him up.
Ow! You scratch me.
Better me than him. Well, this is nice.
Mr. Hyde, you've done terrible things in England. So terrible that you fled the country. And I'm ashamed to say that Her Majesty's government is willing to offer you amnesty in return for your services. You want to go home?
Home.
home's where the heart is, that's what they say. And I have been missing London so. Its sorrow is as sweet to me as a rare wine. I'm yours.
He stares lingeringly at Mina.
Don't be afraid.
Who says I'm afraid?
You stink of fear!
Quite the parlor trick.
You wait to see my next one.
Hyde writhes in agony and starts convulsing, lashing out with his trunk-like legs and bulging arms. His body is slowly changing shape, shrinking down to normal size. Now, in a state halfway between monster and man, he looks at his deformed hands with a panicked stare. Suddenly, he's thrown into one last convulsion, and his transformation is complete. The shivering, exhausted man stands and pulls off the chains that once held his body.
Dr. Jekyll, at your service.
So, the league is set.
A piece of paper is fed out of a panel.
So is the date for the conference. We have 3 days.
3 days? Can this canoe do that?
You underestimate the Nautilus, sir.
The Nautilus cuts through the sea, speeding its way to Venice. Mina is near the conning tower, looking out across the sea. Sawyer's with Quatermain.
She's out of your league.
Dorian goes over to Mina.
Mina.
Sawyer watches as Dorian talks to Mina for a moment.
Fortune rewards the bold. If you require any help during the voyage, Mrs. Harker, just let me know.
I'm curious how you think you could assist me, Agent Sawyer.
Heavy lifting.
He turns open the handle of one of the doors.
Lat Banner. I'm a useful kind of guy.
You're sweet. And you're young. Neither are traits that I hold in high regard.
Dorian saunters over and taps Sawyer on the arm.
The solar panels are fully charged. We'll be diving in a moment. Mr. Quatermain, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Skinner, Captain.
Nemo.
The Nautilus continues speeding across the water. The lower half of the vessel is submerged.
The plans the Phantom stole from the Bank of England. These are copies. Da Vinci's blueprints of Venice. Its foundations and waterways.
So he'll attack the conference by sea.
Quatermain's writing by lamplight when he's distracted. He flicks off the light.
Easy, Alan. Easy.
I want you dressed at all times, or it's my boot up your arse.
Nemo's outside Quatermain's quarters.
Dinner is served, Mr. Quatermain. I can offer you a jacket if you require it.
Oh, thank you, no.
But thank you for your contribution so far. I may have been overly rude earlier when I called you a pirate.
And I may have been overly charitable when I said I wasn't. But I try to live in the now, where the ghosts of old wrongs do not abide. What of you?
Oh, I don't believe in ghosts, although I've seen my share.
Your past haunts you.
Vanity, pride, mistakes that cost me someone dear.
So now you throw yourself in harm's way.
Oh, old tigers, sensing the end, are at their most fierce. And they go down fighting.
Nautilus continues its journey across the sea towards the rising sun. On the bridge.
You know how I left him, Captain. That's all I'm saying.
Powder?
You think sabotage? We ain't that far, of course.
By the conning tower, buoys are being fired out to sea for Quatermain's target practice. Sawyer steps out on deck.
Did you want something?
No. I was just wondering why he signed up for all this. Nemo told me you hate the British Empire.
They called and I answered.
You know, that ain't all of it, though, is it?
Hello?
Another boy's fired.
Sorry I asked.
Sawyer approaches and leans on the railings.
A few years ago, the British approached me with a mission for Queen and Country.
That sounds like the morning ride to work for you, I'd imagine.
I signed on without hesitation. I even took my son along. I led, and my son followed. He died in my arms. After that, I washed my hands of England, the Empire, and the legend of Alan Bloody Quatermain.
Sawyer turns away, looking thoughtful. After a moment, Quatermain offers him his gun.
Now, would you like to learn how to shoot?
I can't already.
Oh, I saw. It's very American. Fire enough bullets and hope to hit the target. Sawyer, I'm talking about pipping the ace at 900 yards. Try. Easy. Easy. Hello!
A boy is released.
Aim.
That's easy.
Allow for wind target movement.
Yeah, that's easy too.
This is the part that's not. You have to feel the shot. Take your time with it. You have all the time you need. All the time in the world. Take your...
Sawyer misses.
Too soon. But that was bloody close. And at 500 yards too. Again.
Another boy is released and lands in the water a great distance away.
Did you teach your son to shoot like this?
Quatermain walks away.
Quatermain?
Sawyer lets out a heavy sigh and leans on the gun as he looks out across the sea. Quatermain's inside. He's walking along a corridor when something grabs his attention. He sees Nemo performing some kind of ceremony in front of a statue of a Hindu god. Mina approaches Quatermain as Nemo kneels down and pulls out a sword.
That's Kali, goddess of death. Nemo worships death. Can we trust him?
He's not the one I'm worried about.
Nemo turns around and stares at Mina as he closes the door. Later, Mina's doing some work with some chemistry apparatus when Dorian approaches.
Mina.
I'm identifying a powder that Nemo found. Magnesium phosphorus. Photographers use it to create a flash.
A camera, perhaps?
It appears that someone wishes to capture this vessel's secrets. I was surprised you ultimately joined the League.
I mean to undo the flaws in my character. I want to face my demons.
And what do you know of demons?
Do you remember a space on the wall of my home? A picture was missing. Although the picture is my portrait, I doubt you'd recognize the face upon it. Every year that passes, my portrait ages instead of me.
When did you last see it?
I dare not look upon it myself, or the magic of the painting would be undone.
Jekyll's secretly listening. Dorian takes a swig from a hip flask.
Nightcap.
I'm not much of a drinker.
She starts putting her books away, and he walks over to her.
Just a small one, then.
The tiny glass breaks in her hand.
How clumsy of me.
We don't want blood everywhere.
No, not blood.
Jekyll watches as they start to kiss lustfully.
Yes, Henry. Look, but don't touch. That's your way.
Just shut up. I won't be tricked again.
Tricked? You've known what I was about each time you drank the formula.
Liar! I'm a good man. A good man!
Who's lying now? You want it. Even more than you want her.
No!
You can't shut me out forever. Drink the elixir.
No!
She barely even looks at you.
Be quiet!
She looked at me!
Jekyll comes face to face with Hyde.
Contain your evil, Doctor. I'll not have the brute free upon my ship. Must I take drastic steps?
I am in control.
I very much doubt it.
Your talk is all well and good, sir, but your own past is far from laudable.
Jekyll walks away. Later, Jekyll's in his cabin, sitting on his bed. He gets to his feet and goes over to a small chest.
Let me out.
If I didn't know better, I'd swear I already had. One of the vials is missing. Oh, God.
So it's clear. With Da Vinci's blueprints and enough explosives, he could set a bomb that would blow Venice's foundations to rubble.
He's gonna sink the whole city.
Yes, and spark off this world war.
I'm afraid that's not the sum of our problems. Skinner, he's taken a vial of my formula.
Are you sure?
Who else? You've seen the way the sneaky blackguard operates.
Thank you. Venice. The still waters of a dimly lit canal are disturbed by the fast-moving bow of the Nautilus. A gondolier continues to slumber, even as his boat is spun gently in the wake of the huge vessel passing by. The submarine cuts through the water, past the pillars and empty walkways of the street. On board, Nemo peers through his periscope at a large crowd of people gathered in a piazza by the canal.
It's the carnival. My God, we must locate that bomb.
The spinning screws of the Nautilus churning thousands of tiny bubbles into the dark waters, then sweeping through the submerged foundations of the city. Resting on the floor of an underwater chamber, dozens of barrel-shaped objects topped with metallic devices. From above, faint light penetrates the chamber from a grate in the ceiling. In the packed piazza, the crowd of carnival goers, dressed in festival costumes and masks, dance and cavort by torchlight. The sword-like hull of Tullus slides along a canal, scraping the underside of an ornate bridge.
We can go no further, Captain.
All ahead, stop!
The massive screws spin into reverse, and the great vessel comes to a halt. Immediately, numerous side hatches are lowered, ramps extended, and the crew begin to disembark. Among them, fully kitted up divers wearing beautifully crafted helmets.
Deploy the divers beneath the city. The explosives must be found.
Aye, aye, sir.
The city is vast. He could be anywhere.
What about Skinner? I'd be alert for his treachery.
As a dazzling fireworks display lights up the sky, the carnival goers applaud their approval.
Bloody carnival.
God, I feared the worst.
Sorry, you still have to...
Suddenly, a devastating explosion shakes the ground. The underwater bombs are exploding one by one. A lookout on the Nautilus.
The buildings are falling like dominoes!
We're too late.
There must be more than one bomb. Nemo! The bombs are at the city center. We must take out one key building.
Yes! Get ahead of the collapse and destroy the next building!
We can interrupt the chain of destruction!
With a beacon placed for the exact coordinates, I could launch a rocket and take out the domino.
Well, that's ridiculous. We'd never get there in time.
There would be no room for error, but I tell you it could work.
What are you talking about? Gray's right!
I'm an immortal, sir, not a gazelle. How can we outrun this?
From the hold of the Nautilus, Sawyer drives an outlandish six-wheeled automobile.
Care for a spin?
The League begin to climb aboard.
Come on, Jekyll, get in.
I'll need coordinates.
Can you track their state?
Of course.
Then the car will be your target. Launch when you see the flare.
Right.
Jekyll, come on. We'll need Hyde.
No. Hyde will never use me again.
Then what good are you?
The white, open-top car streaks away, leaving Jekyll behind. Now, Sawyer drives at speed along the banks of the canal.
Straight ahead, then turn left.
No, no, take a right, after the canal port.
You must turn left to get ahead of the car.
Come on!
Yeah!
Snipers! Damn, Skinner! He must have told them we were coming!
Dorian leaps from the vehicle just as it comes upon a group of machine gun firing troops. They veer right to avoid them and plow straight through a series of stone pillars. Nina.
Dorian!
Quatermain aims his rifle at a rooftop.
Can't get a clear shot!
They take the wheel!
With Quatermain steering, Sawyer lets loose a volley of pistol shots.
Sit down, you buffoon! I don't know how to drive this bloody thing! Sit down!
Got it!
Save
your bullets. These men are mine!
Mina flies.
Did you see that?
Onto a building.
Did you see what she just did?
Keep your eyes on the bloody road!
Whoosh!
The car swerves round a corner and comes under yet more fire.
It's a gauntlet!
The vampire lady has us covered!
Up above, a great swirling cloud of bats descends on the line of troops firing from the rooftops. Giving full rein to her bloodlust, Mina's vampiric form flies within the bats, dispatching the men one by one. As the car speeds on, carnival goers run in terror as a huge building bordering the piazza collapses. On board the Nautilus.
The collapse has reached the carnival, Captain. Time's running out.
Tune the tracer to the car's frequency. The rocket must be ready to launch.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Crew members look up, startled by the heavy impacts on the submarine's hull. Outside, debris rains down on both the vessel and the men on the canal side as buildings begin to tumble. Nemo's on the conning tower, looking through binoculars.
Come on, Sawyer, come on!
Captain, we must pull out!
No, we stay and do our job!
From the car, Quatermain spots the Phantom aboard a small submarine in a narrow canal.
Remember the flare! I'm off!
What?
Don't forget, you're the target!
Oh. Quatermain jumps from the car and Sawyer drives on through the crumbling city. As buildings topple, Quatermain pursues the Phantom through crowds of panicking carnival goers. In the engine room of the Nautilus, sparks are flying.
We'll be smashed apart!
You all say we stay, we stay!
Sawyer zooms on, outpacing the wave of destruction.
He has overtaken the collapse! Be ready to launch!
Going flat out, Sawyer readies the flare pistol. As the car hurtles up some steps and becomes airborne, he fires the flare.
Launch!
A rocket arches away from the Nautilus and across the city just as Sawyer crashes through a wall. The Phantom and Quatermain both watch the rocket's progress.
Bravo, boy.
Sawyer pulls himself from the wreckage of the car as debris falls all around him and the rocket hones in on his location. The building the car's come to rest in explodes in a massive fireball. Nemo solemnly lowers his binoculars.
He's done it.
A cloud of dust hangs above the area of the city the rocket struck, but no more buildings fall. Dazed carnival goers wander about as Quatermain continues his hunt for the Phantom. With rifle raised, he steps through a wooden door and closes it behind him.
Venice still stands.
He's at the entrance to a shadowy graveyard.
You failed.
The Phantom changes his hiding position.
You see yourself as the brave John Bull. But you're weak. You run from the memory of your son's death. You should have trained him a little better. You may as well have put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger yourself. Oh, yes. I know all about you.
I know all about your spy.
Do you?
The Nautilus engine room.
Mr. Gray. What happened?
Misadventure. Have the others returned?
You're the first. Hopefully not the last. That bastard Skinner. A lot to answer for.
Skinner? No. Me.
Dorian shoots Ishmael down. Now, as Quatermain stalks through the graveyard, he's jumped by the Phantom. The Phantom stabs him, but Quatermain strikes out, sending his mask flying, revealing M, who pulls makeup from his face.
You?
You don't know the half of it.
Despite a knife thrown by Quatermain, M escapes through the graveyard entrance.
The Phantom is M. And the hunt is still on.
What are you talking about?
The Phantom is M. The very man who recruited us.
Let me see. Oh.
But how?
We'll get our answers. Where are the others?
Dorian's missing in action. And Mr. Skinner must have fled when he realized we knew.
And Sawyer?
He'll live to fight another day.
Sawyer draws back as Mina raises a hand to his head.
Don't worry. I've had my fill of throats for this evening.
Come!
The League rush to Ishmael as he staggers from a hatch on the Nautilus.
It was Gray. Not Skinner. Gray's tricked us all.
Ishmael breathes his last, and a sorrowful expression crosses Nemo's face.
What is it?
The sound of treachery!
They rush aboard and run through the hold to the open hatch on the other side of the vessel. A large semi-spherical device is being extended from the submarine's side.
What is that thing?
My exploration pod.
The pod detaches and falls into the canal below. Dozens of slender, blade-like appendages running around the vehicle's side begin to rotate, thrashing the water. A porthole opens, revealing Dorian at the controls.
We can track it.
I intend to catch it!
As the League run back into the Nautilus, the pod executes a turn before heading off, scything its way through the waters of the canal. The screws of the Nautilus turn, and the edifice of a nearby building collapses as the mighty submarine sets off in pursuit.
That is us. That is the Nautiloid. We will be upon them soon.
You okay?
Just a little shaken.
As the League react to the sudden piercing noise, a crewman rushes through the Nautilus.
Nemo? It's nothing of mine.
The crewman approaches Nemo.
Captain, the noise came from this.
A recording disc?
A gramophone player.
Ready, Professor? Recording.
Gentlemen, if you're hearing this, then every step leading up to it has gone as planned.
And I've been true to the girls set to me. Yes, it's me, Dorian.
As you know by now, I'm no loyal son of the Empire. In fact, my loyalty to Mr. M comes in no small part from his possession of something I hold very dear to my heart. Something I would do anything to regain.
You are right.
My ears hurt. It's nothing.
Everything so far
has been misdirection. Sanderson Reed.
The assassins in Kenya, your recruitment and mission, the secret conference, a myth.
Even the League itself. There is no League. There never was. It was a ruse to get me closer to my goals.
He likes the sound of his own voice, doesn't he?
You see, I want you, each of you, even tired old Quatermain, because he'll capture Hyde where all others have failed. The question is why? Why all this mask and mystery?
Because in the war to come, I intend to wield the greatest weapon of all. The power of the League itself.
Oh, turn it off, Henry. Please turn it off.
To that end,
I set my wolf among you sheep. Growl.
We'll gain your trust, quietly lead you astray.
And all the while, I'll collect you. The parts of you I need. Nemo's science.
Magnesium phosphorus.
Skinner's skin sample.
Ow! You scratched me.
Jekyll's potion.
And Mina's blood.
He's stolen us. And we let him.
If you fail to save Venice,
then I get my war. And if you succeed, well, it's a small price to pay for Grey to go about his task. War will come, sooner or later, as inevitable as summer into autumn.
Now some of you, perhaps Quatermain if he isn't dead, will pause to ask why I'm letting you know all this. What fool reveals his stratagem before the game is over?
It is over. For you.
Because my voice isn't the only sound being made. While I've rambled on, a secondary layer of inaudible sound, higher than humans can hear, audible to dogs, lower animals, has been heard by crystal sensors dotted about your vessel.
Sensors attached to bomb. Bomb voyage.
Nemo smashes the gramophone to the floor. Now, hurtling through the corridors of the Nautilus, past crewmen, to the location of three hidden bombs. One of the bombs explodes, rocking the submarine violently. The next two go off, and soon huge plumes of water are gushing through broken pipes, flooding the engine room. Terrified crewmen rush desperately for the stairs as the water descends upon them. On the badly tilting bridge, Nemo fights his way up to the deck to commandeer the wheel.
Out of the way! We have to surface! We're taking in too much water! The controls are not responding!
Primary engine room almost full! Aft bulkhead is open! Pump valves are jammed!
Seal it off!
But there are men in there, Captain!
For the greater good, we must seal it!
Jekyll clutches his hands to his ears and is thrown about the bridge. Hyde speaks from a mirror.
Who is Henry?
What are you talking about?
You know we can do it. Together.
As Nemo struggles with the controls, the Nautilus slides into the inky depths. Jekyll joins some crewmen as they close a hatch.
Clean it up! Hold it quickly! What are you doing?
It's our last chance.
But I've ordered to close it.
Dad, close it.
Clean it up.
With the compartment hatch sealed above him, Jekyll drinks the potion from the bottle and slips beneath the rising water. Tearing at his shirt, he begins his painful transformation. He swims through the water even as his body is torn with spasms. Soon, the hideous face and bulbous body of Hyde have replaced the slender Jekyll. As crewmen struggle at the top of the flooding compartment, Hyde sinks slowly down to the bottom. He grasps two metal handles in his powerful fists and begins to pull them upwards, straining against the metal plate they're set in. Having succeeded in pulling out the levers, Hyde is thrown aside by the force of water escaping through a slatwork grille he's opened. With the water level falling, Jekyll appears in a reflected surface.
Bravo, Edward! Bravo!
Like a great whale, the Nautilus is nearly vertical as it breaks the surface and slams back down, righting itself in an explosion of spray. As Quatermain and Sawyer help clear up, Jekyll appears. Quatermain gives him a thumbs up.
Let's not make a saint out of a sinner. Next time he may not be so helpful. Can we still follow Grey?
Well, we were the faster, but now we're the tortoise to his hare.
So we're done?
No. We're alive. If M has any ideas to the contrary, that gives us an edge.
We're getting a signal.
Morse code.
What's it say?
Hello, my freaky darlings.
Skinner?
Hiding on board Little Fish with Gray and M. On way to base. East by northeast. Follow my lead.
The bomb-damaged Nautilus lists badly as it drifts on calm seas. Throughout the submarine, repairs are being made. Jekyll carries some bandages through to Mina, who's helping care for the injured crewman. A tireless Sawyer is busily lending a hand to a repair team in the bowels of the vessel. Soon, the moving wall chart on the bridge is once more tracing out the pursuit of the Nautiloid.
Good work, all of you. Captain? All ahead! Pull!
The screws stir into life, and the bow of the Nautilus cuts through the water. Now, a line traced on a sea chart.
If Skinner's headings are correct, we will pass through the treacherous Straits of Tartary and enter the Amur River, which empties out into the frozen lakes of Mongolia, virtually inaccessible to outsiders.
The conning tower of the Nautilus cracks the icy surface of the lake and thrusts up into a white, snow-driven landscape. Wearing cold weather jackets, the League stand on the tower studying the banks of the lake through binoculars.
Peasant settlements. They're all deserted.
Why deserted?
Fear, no doubt.
Across the lake of ice, the League trudge through the heavy snowfall towards jagged mountains.
M summer retreat.
This is where Skinner signaled he'd meet us. So we wait.
As the rest of the League rest by a small fire in a cave, Quatermain waits outside, keeping sentry with his rifle at the ready. Sensing something, he suddenly becomes alert.
Skinner?
Looming out of the snowfall ahead is a magnificent white tiger. Quatermain aims his rifle at it, and reaches for the trigger. The creature stops a short distance away and eyes Quatermain, who slowly relaxes his grip on the rifle. The tiger bounds off and soon disappears into the snowdrift again, leaving Quatermain looking contemplative.
We heard a noise.
It was nothing.
Nemo and Mina stare out into the snow.
Just an old tiger sensing his end. Perhaps this was not his time to die after all.
Something startles Mina.
I've been waiting a week to do that.
Get a grip, man.
Well, I thought I just did. Ooh, Mina.
Report.
Well, hello to you too. And need I remind you, I am naked in the snow. I can't feel any of my extremities, and I mean any of them.
With all the suspicion on the ship, I knew you wouldn't believe I wasn't the spy. Well, I thought it was best to disappear.
So what are we dealing with?
The fortress is vast. Furnaces produce iron for making M's weapons of destruction.
Inside the vast fortress, they spied from afar huge cauldrons of molten metal are poured and squadrons of battle tanks are assembled.
They're pieced together on the factory floor by a private army of ruthless men who share his vision. But the worst was to come. In the dry dock, M's best minds pervert Nemo's dream.
Nautilus?
Nautiloi. It's 8 for now.
What about the kidnapped scientists?
M holds her family's hostage. The men work, or the women and children die.
Monstrous.
Well, that isn't the half of it. The scientists are forced to work night and day to make new versions of us. Invisible spies, an army of hides, vampiric assassins. M leaves for Europe today with a sample case of the chemicals to sell to the most eager nation.
I'll not let my evil infect the world.
Do you think any of us feel differently?
Chimney pipes lace the buildings. And bombs in the furnaces would make quite a bang. But someone needs to blow that place to hell. And I am least likely to be seen.
Skinner, I didn't know that you were such a barefaced liar. All that time pretending that you weren't a hero?
Well, shut up or I'll come to my senses. Well, besides, any more like me, and I'll lose the franchise.
No, this cannot be a hunt to the death. More's a pity. We must take M alive if his secrets are to be uncovered.
Not Gray. He's lived long enough.
No, I'll handle him.
No.
Nemo, you and Hyde will free the prisoners. Sawyer and I will deal with them. Then the game is on.
Do you mind? Night-night.
Your painting's in your room.
In return for the League. That was our deal, and I'm glad to see you honor it.
So what now?
London. I've had my fill of violence, now I'm in the mood for vice.
You could stay. Share my dream.
I've lived long enough to see the future become history, Professor. Empires crumble. There are no exceptions.
You think you're better than me. You forget. I've seen your painting.
Mr. Hyde opens a large door and walks through it, followed by Captain Nemo and his men, who are all armed with machine guns. He gestures for them to fan out across the vast, cavern-like chamber they've entered. The rest of the League step inside and they take in their surroundings. Skinner is dressed in black, with his head visible beneath his face paint. Mr. Hyde approaches him and the others and raises one of his colossal hands. The rest of the League each add their hands on top.
Skinner said turn right at the column.
Oh, great. Which one?
This way.
You lead. Now follow. A scientist.
They are for Nemo.
Quatermain leads Sawyer away from the room where the scientists are at work, and they approach a much larger space, looking down on the assembly line of battle tanks.
Prepare the armament for shipment. Prepare the armament for shipment.
They're moving out.
Let's hope Skinner's up to the task.
You help him out!
Now invisible, Skinner places explosives by a boiler. Nemo batters aside armed guards.
Release them! Quietly. Get them back to the ship.
As the scientists and their families are led away, Skinner places another set of explosives by a giant cauldron beneath a shower of sparks.
Ow!
While Quatermain and Sawyer cautiously pick their way through some rooms, Nemo's assisting the escape of the scientists' families. As women and children run down a corridor, an unconscious guard comes to his senses and staggers away. Nemo and his men give chase. Quatermain and Sawyer have come across M's luxuriously decorated quarters. In a mirror, they see him in an adjoining room, being shaved by a servant. Suddenly, M's crony, Dante, enters.
James! Here's your box of tricks. The brute's potion, the vampire's blood, the Indian science, and mounted samples of invisible skin.
They'll be all the rage in Europe.
The Nautiloid is fueled and ready.
We have trouble.
Trouble? I call it sport.
Intruders! Indians! I think it's Captain Nemo and his men! The prisoners are escaping!
How many times do I have to kill these cretins?
Make this the last!
Having smashed in a door, Hyde leads Nemo and his men into yet another chamber where they're ambushed by Dante and a retinue of troops. Hyde uses the demolished door as a shield, deflecting bullets back at the attackers.
Nemo! Get the scientists! Is that all you've got?
Nemo leaps from some stairs and, wielding his sword, single-handedly takes on several guards. With ferocious skill, he outfights them all.
Do not move, Em. Or would you prefer Professor James Moriarty?
James Moriarty, the so-called Napoleon of crime. That man died at Reichenbach Falls. He died, and I was reborn.
Watch out!
Eyes open, boy. Can't protect you all the time.
Dorian's in his room, tucking a handkerchief into his breast pocket and picking up his hat. Mina's standing behind him.
Hello, lover.
Dorian puts the hat back down and turns to face her.
Mina. You're alive. It's possible I can't die. Same could be said of you. Let's put it to the test.
She somersaults over him and stabs him in the back.
Mint.
Do you realize what you've done? What you've let out on me?
A woman's wrath? Oh, I'm petrified.
The vicious slash wounds they've given each other heal instantly.
We'll be at this all day.
With deft, supernatural moves, Mina avoids Dorian's blade, and they fight each other to a standstill.
The bedroom, Mina. Does it give you memories?
Or ideas?
Ideas.
If that had been permanent, I'd have been very upset.
Dorian skewers Mina on his blade, and she falls back onto the bed.
I hoped I'd get to nail you one more time. Didn't think it'd be literally.
As Quatermain and Sawyer pursue M through the fortress corridors, Sawyer collides with an unseen obstacle.
Skinner? It's okay, Skinner. What the hell are you doing here?
What makes you think I'm Skinner?
A knife flashed into view, held by an invisible hand, and Sawyer ducks and scrabbles away to avoid it. He kicks out with both feet before firing his rifle towards the knife as it retreats down the corridor and disappears behind a door. As Sawyer reloads, the invisible assailant bursts through the door and runs at him, forcing him to use the rifle to counter the slashing blade. Sawyer kicks his attacker through another door, where dislodged powder from a set of shells makes him visible, and he flees. Now, with his pistols, Sawyer shoots at a man in heavy armor at the other end of the corridor.
Whoa.
He runs to avoid the sheet of flame thrown out by the weapon the man's holding. Sawyer soon finds himself cornered by fire in a small library as the flame man approaches. He grabs a metal torch handle and prepares to make a last stand.
Sawyer! Run for it!
Skinner's punctured the flame man's gas tank, but runs off in flames before Sawyer ignites the tank.
Keep moving! Go, over, go! Quickly!
Hyde intercepts Dante and two of his men, sending them flying with a powerful blow.
Come on! You want more? No! Not the whole thing.
Dante's guzzled down a whole flask of potion from a laboratory bench. Dorian's removed his blade from Mina's chest.
You are so lovely.
As he turns his back on her, she gets up, grabs the blade and buries it into him.
Thank you. You broke my heart once. This time you missed. You spoke once of wanting to meet your demon.
As Dorian struggles to free himself from the wall where Mina's impaled him, she picks up a canvas-covered painting.
Here he is.
Dorian stares in horror at the age-worn portrait of himself. As he screams, his body quickly decays and desiccates into dust in an instant. As he does so, the painting becomes clear and blemishless, as if new again.
Skinner?
This is the last time I'll play with matches.
Quatermain is stalking Moriarty through a room full of dusty junk. Up ahead, he sees his quarry through a door.
End of the line, Moriarty.
It was Moriarty's reflected image in a mirror. Moriarty then pounces on Quatermain and sends his rifle flying.
To the death, but you'll need Hyde to make it mine.
He'll be making his own fun.
Hyde's taking a beating.
Nemo! Nemo!
A colossal and grotesque creature appears.
Nemo, run!
The potion has transformed Dante into a gigantic abomination of rage and muscle. Dwarfing Hyde, he charges at him and begins to rain powerful blows upon him. Hyde delivers a blow of his own.
What is that thing? It's me on a bad day.
Nemo watches as the two muscle-bound freaks run at each other and slug it out, exchanging punches of terrifying force. Quatermain and Moriarty continue their own fight, knocking each other to the ground, their weapons sliding from their hands. Nemo runs into the thick of the fight between Hyde and his monstrous counterpart just as Hyde is sent flying. He slashes at the Dante creature with his sword until he too is swatted away, landing beside Hyde.
He's too strong. We're trapped.
No, he's burning through the formula at an accelerated rate. He'll soon change back.
Nemo!
Nemo stabs the creature's hand as it grabs Hyde, and Hyde pulls it to the ground. Quatermain wraps a chain around Moriarty's neck.
I've got your fire when I'm your age.
You will not live beyond today, that I promise.
Moriarty breaks free, but Quatermain decks him with a series of ruthless punches to the face. He then picks up a nearby axe.
Fight! Come on!
My formula's done!
Fleeing with Nemo, Hyde transforms back into Jekyll just as their monstrous foe gets to his feet and begins to run after them. To escape it, they squeeze through a gap in a wall. Quatermain bears down on Moriarty.
You think you're going to come in here and wreck all this? Or just rebuild it?
Nemo and Jekyll watch the creature grab an icicle through a gap in the wall.
There'll be others like me, Quatermain. You can't kill the future.
Just as Quatermain raises the axe and the creature is raising the deadly icicle, another of Skinner's bombs goes off. Yet another time bomb explodes, and the fortress begins to disintegrate. The giant creature turns to see a fireball bearing down on it just before it's trapped in the gap in the wall, a huge piece of stonework falling on top of it. More and more debris crushes down on the creature until it disappears from view. Nemo and Jekyll escape onto the snow through a hole that's opened up in the wall. Above them, the shattered fortress burns. As Moriarty picks up his phantom mask, Quatermain aims a pistol at him.
Do you ever get tired of being wrong? The League? Me? Skinner? Wrong. Wrong about your little American friend as well. You really think he's ready for action? I think you've trained him about as well as you trained your son.
Moriarty holds up the mask and Quatermain sees Sawyer reflected in it. He spins and shoots the invisible man holding a knife at Sawyer's throat, and Moriarty uses the chance to stab Quatermain in the back. Sawyer watches helplessly as Moriarty leaps from a window and uses his cape to glide to the snow-covered ground far below. As Moriarty runs off, Sawyer grabs Quatermain's rifle. Quatermain's discovered his spectacles are broken.
Get him!
Sawyer rushes to the window and aims at the fleeing Moriarty.
It's too far.
Take your time. You're ready.
Sawyer aims again.
Take your time.
As Quatermain staggers weakly, Moriarty is running for the safety of the Nautiloid on an ice floe up ahead. Carrying his mask and the box of secrets, he races through the snow. As a smile of triumph crosses Moriarty's face, Sawyer fires and the bullet finds its mark. Moriarty falls dead into the snow, and the box slips into the icy water.
I got him!
May this new century be your son, as the old one was mine.
Quatermain crumples back onto some boxes, lifeless. Sawyer stands, disbelieving for a moment, before he solemnly lowers the rifle to his side. From Sawyer, hanging his head in grief, to the African savannah. A witch doctor throws something into a fire, while in a cemetery, Sawyer now stands over two graves side by side. Casting long shadows from the low sun, the members of the League step through a group of mourners and join Sawyer by the graves. Skinner is among them, dressed only in black coat and hat.
You remember he swore Africa wouldn't let him die? I wish the old boy had been right.
What's next?
I have long hidden away from the world. Now I wish to see it anew as the century turns. You're all welcome to join me.
We've all been hiding in one form or another.
The Nautilus awaits.
So who's coming?
Nemo bows.
So long, old chap.
Goodbye, Alan.
The mourners begin to leave.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Sawyer is last to go. He places Quatermain's rifle on his grave and then follows the rest of the League as they traipse off along a dusty path. The witch doctor appears and grabs a handful of soil from the burial mound. He holds it aloft and the sky is suddenly full of clouds. Now, as the man mutters incantations over a brightly burning fire, the loose soil beneath the rifle on Quatermain's burial mound begins to shake loose. The flames lick higher, and from beneath the ground, some unseen force seems about to erupt.